Wow, thank you, choir. Dave, thanks for leading the choir, teaching. How cool to see so many of you up here this morning. That was great. And that accompanist, I tell you what. That's my wife playing piano. I love choir Sundays because all week long, Katie practices and I hear the music. It fills the home all week long, but I have no idea what the words are. Or how, you know, I just hear the music. I'm like, oh, that sounds nice. And then all of a sudden all these voices, and you're like, yeah, all right. I like it. Let's pray. God, thank you for the life that we have in you. Thank you, God, that we can gather in this place, that we can turn our attention toward you, that we can come into your presence because of Jesus. And so, Lord, because of that, we enter through these gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. We desire, Lord, to be people of gratitude and of generosity. Pray, Lord, that you help us remember how amazing you are, and also the good things that have come our way through you, Lord. Protect us from entitlement and selfishness, and teach us to have heartfelt thank yous to you, Lord. Help us to be people that are vertically thankful, horizontally thankful towards others, towards you. And thank you, God, for today. In Jesus' name, amen. I love Thanksgiving. I think it's my favorite holiday. I'm pretty sure it is. I just love it. I have a Thanksgiving shirt. Yeah, if you're watching from home, you're like, what is that? It's turkeys. That's what it is. It's turkeys. But I do love this holiday, and especially like, is today not the most Pacific Northwest November day? And this time of year, like, the trees are all bare mostly now. So, like, the beauty of fall, I mean, it's always pretty around here, don't get me wrong. But it's, like, gray and mushy weather and cold. But Thanksgiving, I feel like, buoys it a little bit. And I just love this holiday. And, you know, it's not a Christian holiday. Like, it's an American holiday. I know that the Canucks have their version of it. I don't know, how many countries have a version of Thanksgiving? I don't know. At least two. So it's a national holiday. It's not a Christian holiday. Yet, like, who does it mean more to than people of God, right? That we know who we're saying thank you to, and we have so many reasons to give thanks. Philip Yancey once said that the great tragedy for atheists is that when they feel joy at being alive, they have no one to say thank you to. And yet, because of the gospel story, we know of God's great love. He's proven it to us in Christ. We have so many reasons to give thanks. And we are to give thanks to God above all else. And what a great time to do that is this time of year. And Thursday, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, however we are doing that. But we are to give thanks to God. In fact, it is the third most repeated command in all of the scriptures is to give thanks. Do you know that? Anyone know what the number one and two most repeated commands are? Not the greatest commandments, but the most repeated. Don't be afraid. That's the number two one. The second most common one, praise God. So like basically like every time we just sang hallelujah, hallelujah is a command of praise God. But the third most commanded thing in the scriptures happens over 150 times is give thanks, like this in Psalm 11. Give thanks to the Lord and praise his name. Here's a couple other ones that talk about giving thanks to God. Just a few of them just to look at that are great. Am I getting this thing? There we go. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul writes to Thessalonians. Give thanks when? In November. Yeah. In when? All circumstances. It is God's will for us to be people that give thanks in all circumstances. Written by a dude who knew suffering. You know? Jesus himself gives thanks in difficult moments. Psalm 95. Oh, what did I do? There it is. All right, Psalm 95. Come. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's repeated a lot of places in the scriptures. This time in 1 Chronicles. Psalm 101, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a smattering. If you've read through the scriptures, you know there's a lot of places where we're implored to be people that give thanks, to be overflowing with gratitude. And gratitude is really powerful. I really think it is. In fact, I think gratitude is like a total cheat code for life. Like, if we can learn to be truly grateful and thankful people, I think it frees us up to live lightly and generously and to be the kinds of people that live the way I think we're supposed to. Where we can, you know, remember we've talked about, Augustine says that sin is humanity curved inward on ourselves. And gratitude, what it does is it breaks us free from that inward, selfish focus where it's all about ourselves and recognizes the good things that come our way, but also recognizes along with it that there is a giver of those gifts. And it takes our attention, especially it turns it vertically. Gratitude is more than just our response to good things that happen, because we can all list off good things that happen. And if it was just about experiencing good things in life makes us grateful, then the people that get everything they want would be the most grateful. Are they? No. Like if you have children, you have raised kids, you know that the best thing for them is not to give them every little thing that they want. That's going to ruin them, probably, because we can be so focused on ourselves. I like what G.K. Chesterton says about gratitude and thankfulness. He says, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. And that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Here's what he means, I think. Happiness doubled by wonder is that when something is given as a gift that is undeserved, there's not only the delight in receiving that thing, but the giving of it and the giver. Like, for example, I love having a cup of coffee in the morning. I can make the coffee, pour it in my cup, sit down in my favorite mug and have a sip, and I can enjoy that. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so, right? You can enjoy coffee that way. However, if Katie makes coffee and pours a cup and brings it to me and says, here, Mark, I brought you some coffee, I will enjoy that coffee. But even beyond that, I'm like, wow, you thought of me and you brought this to me. My happiness is doubled by the wonder of a gift. Do you see how thanksgiving and gratitude, it changes us. It recognizes the happiness that a good thing that we can delight in, but it sees it as coming from something beyond ourselves, not something we earned or are entitled to, but as a gift. And when we can receive it that way, it's wondrous. It recognizes the giver. And we have an amazing giver. Jesus' half-brother James said this early on in his letter. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. That God gives grace to us and gifts, and it's a delight when we can recognize that. The problem is with us as humans is we can become very corrupt. We can be very self-centered. We can very quickly turn from a place of gratitude and thankfulness and others' focus to being all about ourselves. You know, when we're offended in some way, or someone disrespects us, or we don't think we get what we deserve, and sin runs deep in us. This idea of entitlement can really mess us up. But gratitude, practiced rightly, can counteract that. I like what Mark Twain said. If you pick up a starving dog and make him prosperous, he will not bite you. That's the main difference between a dog and a man. Right? Because we can receive good things in our lives, so many of them, it can actually mess us up a little bit. And so thanksgiving as a practice and as an attitude can counteract that and can protect us just a little bit, because our sin nature runs deep. And if thanks is only about the gift, yeah, I got this thing, you know, and not about the giver, then we stay at the center. In fact, Jesus tells a parable, tells a story to a group of people that trusted themselves and had contempt for others. This is in Luke 18. The words are up here. Here's what it says. To some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I've heard that prayer, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, described as the prayer that God always answers. But who is this? Who is Jesus talking to here? Luke tells us. Some who are confident in their own righteousness, who thought they had it all together, and looked down on everyone else, had contempt. And they were able to say, oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like this loser. You see, you can say the words thank you, and is this person grateful? No, they're an example of someone that is in the wrong here, that even their gratitude is about themselves, like turning it back to themselves some way. We can use the words thank you and be ungracious. We can be selfish and self-centered. We have a tendency as human beings that are sinners to like narcissism, to living with ourselves as the center of the world. And there's this author named Robert Emmons who wrote a book called Gratitude. And in it, he gives like a heart check, a narcissism test. And so I'm going to give you the narcissism test right now. So it's very simple. I'm going to give you two different statements, and I want you to choose which one describes you better. I'm going to do this a couple different ways. Okay, first statement. Here's the A column. A, all right? I expect a great deal from other people. Is that you? That's A. Or B, I like to do things for other people. Which one describes you more? I expect a great deal from others, or I like to do things for people. Okay? Second one is this. A, I will never be satisfied until I get what I deserve. Or B, I enjoy satisfactions as they come my way. Right? A, like, I will never be satisfied until I get what I deserve. Or B, I enjoy satisfactions as they come my way. So then he goes on. He says, if you said A for both things, the reality is you will have a difficult time genuinely giving thanks. And you could understand that, right? And then he says this, if you said B for both, and you find yourself relieved that you're not like those A people, if you say, thank God I'm not a narcissist, guess what? There is something in you that's in danger, see? First time I read that, I said, phew, yeah, I think I'm B. Woo, I pass, you know? No, we need to untangle ourselves from ourselves regularly. And I think gratitude done rightly does that for us. Because we can ruin our gratitude. Our gratitude should turn us to think about the giver, not ourselves. And gratitude, honestly, I think it's a cheat code, because gratitude, I think it leads to lightness and freedom and joy and generosity. I bet you, if you can think of the most joy-filled people you know, they're also the most grateful and probably the most generous people you know. If you can think about the people that are the angriest, saddest, most frustrated, oftentimes it's the most self-centered, right? And the most self-focused. And when I can see myself being the worst version of myself, it's when I'm in that bucket. That's why we give out a little book from Tim Keller to newcomers that it's called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, which is about how the way of living with humility, not where we think low of ourselves, where we just don't think about ourselves as much, leads to this freedom and this lightness and an ultimate way to live. Without gratitude, we're in danger. This guy said this 1,000 years ago, Bernard of Clairvaux. I don't know if I'm saying that right, perhaps. But he said this, ingratitude is the soul's enemy. It dries up the source of love, the dew of mercy, the streams of grace. Which is true. And so we need to learn to be people that give thanks in all circumstances. And this is why I think there's a difference between feeling grateful when someone does something really kind to you and it erupts in you. Feeling grateful is good. There's a difference between feeling grateful and being grateful. We can be grateful in every circumstance if we can see and recognize gifts of God, even if we feel like they're few and far between, and we can recognize the giver. And it's something we should practice always. And so we're going to practice it right now, actually. This is our tradition. Just so you know, there's going to be two ways. This is an interactive part of the sermon. I got Shane and Robbie are going to rock the mics for us. And if anyone is like, I just want to shine a light on this thing I'm really thankful for. We do this every year in our Thanksgiving service. And you want to stand and speak into the mic, just something you are grateful for. You want to recognize the gift and recognize the giver. We're going to do that right now. If a few of you want to briefly share, I think that would be great. I love hearing that. But then you're also going to get a chance to share, because I'm going to lead us through a prayer of praise and thanksgiving that we can all participate in. So you also have a chance to share briefly praises to God and thanksgiving to God in a moment. So, but right now, though, is there anyone that's like, hey, I'm so thankful for this, and I would love to share with the congregation? Robbie's over here. Shane's over here.
Hello, everybody. My name is Emma, and I have an endless list of things to be grateful for, but I want to talk about something that's been new to me this year. I have been a leader at youth group, and there's a plethora of reasons that this has been special, because it's the youth group that I grew up in, and the youth group that has done so much for me and given me so much. But it's just such a beautiful and strong group of people, and watching them just have such a desire to grow closer to God and to be good stewards of the faith is really inspiring to me. And it's an amazing group of leaders with Robbie and Jack and Nancy. They're just great friends, and it's been just such a blessing and the highlight of my week. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you to those of you that are pouring into our next generations, you know, youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, kids workers. That is awesome. Thank you, Emma. That's rad. Anybody else? Janine?
Being here with my family.
Being with family. That is, it's great to have you and Sam here from the East Coast. Great to have you with us. Oh, back there. Shane. Danya?
This year I read The Familiar Stranger, and I was always, it kind of prompted me to be like, God, yeah, you say you do miracles, but I haven't had the opportunity to see miracles, like medical happen. And so then this year my neighbor's daughter had a burst appendix, and we went immediately to prayer, and the doctors, when they went in, all the infection was in this perfect ball that they didn't have to do an extensive cleanup. And like, it was, to me, it was like, oh, that's a neat miracle. And then I was also wondering about like other gifts of the Spirit, and my neighbors two doors down are part of a charismatic church, and I actually saw prophecy in action, and it like came true word for word. I was like, well, that's kind of cool. And then when we were first given our infertility diagnosis, we were told that we had less than 0.5% chance of ever conceiving naturally. And here I am with a spontaneous pregnancy that is all glory to God. So he still is the X-17 God.
Amen. Yeah. Sweet.
Hello, I'm Melissa. Our friend in San Diego was recently in a car accident. He had some injuries, got scans, found a mass in his kidney from this scan. So that was a negative surprise, to say the least. So I'm so worried. I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling mad. A lot of fear. A different friend from San Diego calls me. I update her on our mutual friend. This is what happened. Can you believe it? She says, thank God, he was in a car accident and they found this mass in his kidney. And everything in my body just immediately changed, just so much more like relaxed and peaceful. And it is just such a good reminder of that reframe. You can thank God for these things that are tragic and find the grace in it that he used this workaround to get to this other diagnosis that really needed to be tended to. I'm not saying God causes car accidents, but he uses things. He uses things for his good plan. And that was just such a good reminder how gratitude is this immediate antidote to fear. That is what that reminded me of. So it was a good Thanksgiving reminder for me.
Awesome. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. Ken?
Well, I'm thankful for the great support group we got around. Why am I up here? But we found support from our neighbors and our family and our good friends in the church. And I never really understood how much support we have, and I appreciate that and everything.
Thanks, Ken. I'm praying for you.
I am thankful for the McChristians who let us use their house for fall retreat every year. And even though we cause damage, they let us come back. So thank you for that, because we don't have anywhere else that we could use. And it's a huge blessing. The kids love it. It's a favorite treat. So thank you.
A couple more here. Jim's got his hand up. Here comes the mic.
And she says, uh-oh. You know, I'm thankful for 54 years of marriage to my best friend. And she's a beautiful woman, both outwardly pleasing to the eye and also has a great heart. And she's put up with me for that long. So thank you.
Awesome.
We don't have to all do it, but I'm grateful for my wife and kids as well. And that we get to have them here to sing. But Benjamin graduating, Rose still working hard and all that. Just we're very blessed. And I'm sure you all are too, but thank you.
Well, I'm thankful for every day I get, especially as I get older. I'm thankful for my family in all its forms. And I'm also thankful for a hobby that has brought me closer to my dad. It's brought me closer to my youth. It's ham radio. And it also brought me closer to something that was very special, a ham radio operator that I knew. She has passed on, but when she was on the radio, she had a saying every night when she was on there. She said, start and end your day with a grateful heart. Gratitude is the best attitude. And it's so easy to remember, and it's so easy to say that it steers me, and I'm very thankful for that. And her.
One more. We'll have Eugene, and then you're going to have a chance to do more in a moment here. So it's not going to be weird.
This year I was diagnosed cancer. I want to say thank you, surgery doctor, nurse, for this professional good job. I want to say thank you, our family, our church. They give me support and emotional support and everything for me. They pray for me. Thank you.
Praise God for your life, Eugene. I want to keep this going, and here's what I want to do with this now. And we're going to try something I don't think we've ever done before. But the first thing I want to do is I want us to read Psalm 100 together. And here's how I want to do this. I want you to read it. So there's only five verses in Psalm 100. It's a great psalm of praise and thanksgiving, and it's in two different colors. So I'd like five of you, one at a time, just stand up, read a verse, sit down. Somebody else stand up and read the next verse. And we'll hear this psalm together. So somebody just kick us off with verse 1.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
Awesome. Thank you, Erica. Perfect. What I want to do now is use this psalm as a jumping off point for us to pray together. I like it when somebody up here prays for us. You know, that's a congregational prayer. But I want us to come before God as praying worshipers together. And so we're going to use this because remember, we're talking this morning about gratitude recognizes the giver and the gift. Okay? And so what I want to invite us to do, and if you're at home, turn up your volume really loud because so you can hear and participate with this. But we're going to use the words from Psalm 100 to pray two different prayers together. First, we're going to do prayers of praise. This is prayers of recognition of God's greatness, you know. And so I'm going to ask you, a few of you, just to pray. You'll say, Lord, I praise you because, you know, you are awesome. Or whatever reason you want to praise God for who he is. And then you will say, the Lord is good. And after you say the Lord is good, the rest of us will say, his love endures forever. Which this comes directly from the psalm we just read. So I praise you because of this. Fill in the blank. A sentence there of praising God. The Lord is good. And then we all say his love endures forever. And then we're going to shift from prayers of praise to prayers of thanksgiving. Where you'll say, I thank you for this. And we've heard some of those things already, but I know those things are on our hearts. You'll say, I thank you for this. And then you will say, give thanks to him. And we will all say, praise his name. This is from the psalm. Okay. Does this make sense? We can do this. I believe in us. Let's go before the Lord. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Somebody start us off with some prayers of praise. Just right where you're at, just pray it, and we'll pray with you.
I praise you because you love us. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because you are always with me. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because you never leave us alone. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
Praise you because you heal and overcome. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because you forgive us. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because your mercy has no end. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because you made everything beautiful. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because your plans are higher than ours. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because you are near the brokenhearted. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
I praise you because you answer prayer. The Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
Let's shift to prayers of thanksgiving. I thank you, God. Give thanks to him.
I thank you, God, for dying on the cross for us. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
Giving us your spirit, give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
Thank you because you're a God who cares about us and gave us your word to tell us who you are.
Praise his name.
I thank you for all the babies and children in this congregation. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
I thank you for a pastor who loves you. Thanks, Lord.
Praise his name.
I thank you for young people falling in love with Jesus. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
I thank you for the beauty you create on the earth and the sky. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
I thank you for giving us your word and giving us wisdom.
I thank you for working good through all things. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
For all the variety of gifts you've given the body and this body, and just the way you've made us work together and complement and all that. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
I thank you for music. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
I thank you for the support systems in this church. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
Thank you for siblings around the world. Give thanks to him.
Praise his name.
God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, your goodness. What a delight it is to be your people. What a privilege it is to be called your children. Lord, that we can gather as a church family to journey towards you together, to become more and more like you. What an awesome privilege, Lord, to be a part of a community like this. So, God, I pray that you would help us to be people that are different because of Jesus, that are different because your Spirit is within us, that we would be people of great gratitude, in awe of your beauty and your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us in the way of being people that look like Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you would make us more and more like him. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us, even in times of sorrow, in times of fear, in times of high anxiousness, Lord, I pray that you would remind us of your goodness. Call us back to the cross. May we fly to the cross regularly, Lord. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for your grace and your goodness and the way you have blessed us. Help us to respond appropriately. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up.